Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
Are you ready to study the Word of God, yes or no? Yes. All right, get your sermon notes out. This is going to be a very relaxed, and actually even in the first service, it's pretty quick. It's going to be quick. It's going to be simple. And I want to say it before we go any further, that we're better together. And this is a standalone message that is just going to teach you what most of you already know, but it's going to be a reminder. It's going to be a reminder. How many know that when you have children, you tell your child something one time, the first time, and how many know you have to give your children reminders? How many know that to be true? You have to remind them. Did you know that we're all children of the Most High God, and He gives us reminders through His Word over and over and over again? Hey, this is how you're meant to live life. And just because this message is simple does not mean it's not transformational. Just because this message is simple does not mean it doesn't have the power to change the course of your life, everybody. So this is going to be very simple, very to the point. And you're going to say, Pastor, you've preached this topic before, and I will continue to preach it in the future, because we need reminders on how to live life, that we're better together. And I'm going to prove this to you starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really, really love them. How many need you to, some of you just needed to hear that today. Pastor, I got a coworker, drives me up the wall. I mean, if he and I were alone in a room and nobody was to know, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. You know what I remind myself of, everybody? When there are people, when I know people, meet people, talk with people, whether it's family or friends or coworkers, and you have that one that just gets on your last nerve, I have to remind myself, everybody, that person is valuable to God, therefore they're valuable to me, and I'm not going to treat them any differently than I would anybody else. I'm going to love them with the love of the Lord that is within me. I'm going to show grace and show mercy, and I'm going to genuinely love them. Now, that doesn't mean I like their attitude. And it doesn't mean I like the words that are coming out of their mouths. And it doesn't mean that I like everything. It just means I'm going to choose to love them. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be understanding. I'm going to be servant-hearted. I'm not going to pretend to love them. I'm actually going to love them. Well, Pastor, they make it really hard. I know. And that's when you say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me, because this bro is a challenge, God. This sister is a challenge right here. Lord, you got to help me. Did you know if you just pray that prayer, Lord, help me, He will. Did you know He will? He'll actually help you. He'll speak to you. He'll say, would you calm down and just love them? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will. Come on, everybody. I could preach on that one portion of one verse all day, but I'm going to move on. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Don't just honor each other, but take delight in it. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Lazy people, anybody in the room, lazy people just drive me nuts. Anybody else? I'm telling you, they just drive me nuts, but I gotta love them too, y'all. I gotta love them too. And don't point fingers at anybody, and just stare at me, nobody else. Look at me. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, watch this, be ready to help them. When they're in need, be ready to help them. If you don't spend time with God's people, how do you know when they're in need? Now that's a good question, isn't it? So you got to be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Let's start right. Pastor Justin, I am just not good at hospitality. That's why the Bible says you got to practice it. You gotta, you know, how many practice makes perfect, right? Well, I'm just not good at hospitality. Well, keep trying, because one of these days, it might not be until you're in your 70s, but one of these days, you're gonna be wonderful at hospitality because you just kept doing it and doing it and doing it and getting better and better and better. How many know we need to practice hospitality, everybody? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. If you don't hang around people, how are you going to know if they're happy? How can you be happy with those people who are happy if you don't hang around those people who are happy? Watch this. And weep with those who weep. How can you weep with those who weep if you don't hang around with those people who are weeping? See, we're better together, everybody. How many of you have ever had a day where you just said, in fact, everybody, can I tell you, I'm very cautious with who I hug on a Sunday morning. I can kind of tell when people are like, I don't want to hug, I just stick out your hand. And, you know, I'm very cautious about who I hug. There's some people I hug every Sunday because they just want a hug from their pastor. You would not believe how many times people say to me, Pastor Justin, I just needed that hug today. I just needed that hug today. And I look and I'm saying, I'm always here when you need a hug because I'm your pastor. I'm your friend, and I love you. And people need, everybody, people need, when they're going through some difficult times, they need somebody to be there with them through those difficult times. My wife and I, this is going to surprise you about Jennifer. It won't surprise you about me, but it will about her. Some of the types of shows that we like are when people are alone in the wilderness, and they just have to survive. You wouldn't think my wife would like that. You probably know that about me. As I look at her, I'm like, I could do that. I could totally do that. I want to do that. Like, don't even pay me the money. Just let me go out in the woods and live for 60 days and I'll be happy. You know, like, that would be awesome. Well, my wife enjoys watching those type of surviving by yourself type of shows. And over and over and over again, do you know what they consistently say when they've been living on their own in the wilderness for, you know, 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, 50 days? I just miss my family. I just miss my friends. I miss my loved ones. I just want a hug today. Some of them will say, I just need some physical touch. Like, I just need a hug. And there's nothing sexual about it. It's just, I need camaraderie. I need somebody. Why? Because we're better together. God did not create you to live life by yourself. In fact, before sin ever entered into the world, I've taught you this, before sin ever entered into the world, God looked at man and he said, it's not good. The first problem in creation was not sin. It was someone being alone. And God said, it's not good that man is alone. I'm going to create someone to live life with him because it's not good. You weren't created to live by yourself, everybody. So let's keep going here. Verse 16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be proud. And don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I love that. I was sorry right there just for saying. I love that. You know what I love about New Song? What I love about New Song is we're all just ordinary people. Like, as we used to say in the South, we don't have any highfalutin people around here. We just are who we are. And if you want to show up in a suit, great. If you want to show up in shorts, great. We don't care. Just be who you are. We're just ordinary people. And the Bible says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company, not just to put up with, but to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And by the way, don't think that you just know it all. Because here's the truth, everybody. You don't know it all. It might surprise some of you, but you don't. And here's the other thing. I don't know it all either. So there are some things that you can teach me because I don't know it all. And there are some things that I can teach you because you don't know it all. So we build, the Bible says, we build each other up in the faith. We encourage one another and strengthen one another and help one another and share wisdom with one another. Why? Because we don't know it all. We don't know it all. And the moment that you think you know it all, you're going to prove to yourself and to others that you don't know it all, because pride comes before a fall. So be very, very careful. So I'm going to teach you Five things a day that are so important to remember. This is going to go very quick, very simple. But God created us. Number one, God created us for community, not isolation. He didn't create you to live in isolation. I'm going to prove this to you in John chapter 17, verse 20. It says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So these are the words of Jesus Christ himself, the prayer of Jesus. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so they may be one as we are one. So he says it again. I want them to be one. I want them to be in unity. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. He says it again. That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So this is one of the last recorded prayers that Jesus prays. And on his heart for the coming generations, he says, I just pray that they live life together, that they are unified, that they would just act and live as one, as one. And yet, through churches all across America, so thankful it's not here at New Song, but at churches all across America, there is disunity all across America. Did you know that? I have seen the most, I am serious, everybody. I have seen the most ignorant arguments you would, I just couldn't believe it. But people arguing about the weirdest things. People getting mad and leaving meetings, being all gruff. One time I was helping a pastor who was an older pastor from an older church, and he was trying to introduce new things and, you know, trying to just spur his church along to good works and making a difference and outreach. And he knew that his church was dilapidated. He's called some people together. He said, you know what? We have money in account. Obviously, we're not anywhere. You know, we've been saving up for a new building, but we don't need a new building. We're not even close to needing a new building. But you know what this church could use? It could use some new carpet, new chairs. I mean, this place is dilapidated. And so he introduced, hey, you know what? We're going to get somebody in here. They're going to bring carpet samples, and we're going to try to fix the look of our church. Well, one person got so irate. Well, Pastor, what kind of colors are you going to choose? Well, we'll probably go with, and he just told him, you know, like beiges or grays or whatever. Oh, no. Carpet has to be red. It's always been red in this church because red represents the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've never walked into a building with red carpet and thought to myself, oh, the blood of Jesus. It's just look at that carpet. It just reminds me of the blood of Jesus shed upon the cross. Oh, have you ever done that? But did you know that some people will cause a church split because they don't want beige carpet, they want red. What a joke, y'all, what a joke. Well, the sad news is it isn't a joke for some people. They really get hung up on those things. And you know what? It's something that you've heard many times before, that we can be in unity without being in uniformity. We don't always have to have the same opinion about everything. That doesn't mean we can't be unified, though. That Jesus is at the center of our lives. He's the center of our message. Everything we do is to make Jesus famous in the world. And if there's something about New Song that you say, you know, there's something about New Song I just don't like, can I tell you something as the pastor? There are some things here at New Song that I don't like, and I'm the pastor. That we could do better, that we could do more, that we could be a little bit better in certain areas. There are some things that I say, boy, we need to change that here at New Song. And as the pastor, it's my call to lead in that direction. If you say, you know, there's some things in New Song I just don't really like, well, join the crowd. That doesn't mean we cannot be unified. It doesn't mean that we can't be in unity. Can I tell you something, what I love about you? You're just so, you know why you don't complain? because you love the fact that there's a church in this community in Marshall County, North Central Indiana, that is living their lives to make a difference, and we are winning lost people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all love being a part of that type of church. Come on, give Jesus some praise for that. He's worthy of it. That's his doing, everybody. He builds the church. I'm just glad to be a part of it. I don't want to cause division in the church. No, I'm here to promote unity. I'm going to do that. I'm going to lead the way in that, everybody. Can I tell you something else, what he says? Our unity and our love and our caring actually reveals Christ to the world. That's what Jesus says. He says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So did you know that our unity reveals Christ to a very dark world? The fact that we care for each other and serve one another and truly love one another, it reveals Christ to this generation. And by the way, there's something else in there that is so important. That's not today's topic, but some of you need to hear it, that our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves every single one of you as much as he loves his own Son. Some of you think, I don't know how God could love me. He is love. It's what he does. It's who he is. He has no other option. And he loves you as much as he loves his sinless, spotless, perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't deserve to be loved as much as he loves Jesus. You're exactly right. That's what makes it all that's what makes it all the better, all the more precious. That's why we worship him, because he truly loves us when we don't deserve it. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, somebody. God sent a son. Boy, I could preach that today. So you're meant to live in community, not isolation. Number two, we have equal value as God's children. As God's children. Philippians 2:3 says it this way. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Here's what I really try to do all the time. I just try to consider others as being more important than me. When I walk into a room, I consider myself to be the least important in the room. I'm just going to live my life to serve everybody else. I'm going to love everybody else. I'm not going to be high-minded. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm going to live my life to serve someone else. Why? Because the Bible tells me to, and if you have the heart of Christ, you have the heart of a servant. Jesus did not come into this world to serve himself. He came to serve you and me. He came to serve the lost. And everybody, we are to reflect Jesus Christ. We need to be servants, everybody, to one another, honoring one another because we have equal value. I was thinking about this. How could I express this to you? I have four children, and I value my children equally. What kind of father would I be if I said, "Hey, everybody, I have four children, three really good ones." And one, anybody want to volunteer and take this one off my hands? And you would say, boy, PJ, you would be a terrible dad. And you're exactly right. I would be a terrible father. Just as my children are all different, but I love them each equally. They're different. They all have strengths and weaknesses that are different from one another, but I do not value one child over another. And God doesn't value other children that he has above you. You know, he shows no favoritism, the Bible says. So if you say, well, you know, Pastor Justin, he'll answer your prayer because obviously you're one of his favorites. After all, you're a pastor. That is such a lie. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't favor me above anybody else. I think he honors faith. So there are sometimes that people receive things because of their faith, but not because of their worth. Everybody see the difference? Come on, somebody. See, all of us have equal worth. We have equal value in the eyes of God. By the way, that's why we do some things differently here at New Song. That's why membership is different here at New Song than most other churches. That we tell people, how do I become a member of New Song? And I just ask them, well, do you love New Song? Yeah. Do you love the vision that we have? Yeah. Do you Do you and will you pray for us and pray for me as we try to make a difference? Yeah. Well, welcome to New Song. You're a member. Well, don't I have to sign something? No, nothing to sign. You're a member of our church. And you know what that really came out of? I tell this a lot in Next Steps, but when we went to 3 services, I wasn't able to speak in Next Steps anymore. And so some of you have heard this story, but many of you have not, that I was on staff at a church, a large church, and we had a guy in the church by the name of Mike Jorgensen. And Mike was a wonderful man. He was at least 15 or 20 years older than I was. And I don't know how else to put this, except he was very simple-minded. Now, he had a job. He worked at a factory. He was completely debt-free. He owned his home, and I mean owned it. Not the bank. He did. And he managed money well. And he always was there early, and he was always one of the last ones to leave, and he wasn't against hard work. He would help us set up, but he was a unique fellow. And he sang in the choir. He couldn't sing worth a lick. And I was the choir director, y'all, and I put Mike Jorgensen into the back row, not because I was embarrassed of him, but I thought, I don't want people to hear his voice. But he loved to worship the Lord. He would sing, and he would sway, and he would clap, and he would be so off key, but I didn't care. Because he's a worshiper. And I was glad to have him. I just put really strong vocals around him to try to drown him out. And one day, the pastor was giving an altar call, a response time at the end. And I was at the piano near the front, and I was standing. I wasn't playing the piano that day. And I was standing there, and I could see, you know, the entire sanctuary. And Mike Jorgensen sat on the end of a row, right kind of dead center. And he stood up, he realized his shirt was untucked, and he decided he was gonna tuck it in. Well, he tried tucking it in, but it wouldn't go because his belt was too tight. So he loosened his belt to tuck in his shirt, started tucking it in, lost grip of his pants, and they fell all the way to the floor. I mean, to his ankles. And there we have a grown man in his underwear in church. You think, Pastor Justin, is that true? My wife is in the room today. I'm telling you, it happened. The guy was half naked in church, and he reached down, and his face got so red, and he reached down, and he pulled his pants up, and he tucked them in. He just, you know, I mean, what would you do? You just try to hide out, like, I hope nobody saw that. Well, we all saw it, and I was trying not to laugh. I'm up there like, you know, I surrender, trying not to laugh at this guy. True story. And I remember he applied for membership. And at that point, not only the deacons and the pastor, but all of the pastors had to be there at our deacon meetings, as there were back then at this church. And at that church, they had to approve people who wanted to be members. Well, Mike had applied for membership, and the senior pastor sat there. He said, no, Mike is not going to be a member. And everybody looked at him and said, well, Pastor, does he not meet the qualifications? He said, well, he probably does. But I don't like him. I don't want him to be a member. And it grieved me so much that I went to the pastor the next day in private, because I would never want to be disloyal to him or to question him like that, because we have to honor our elders. How many know that? So I didn't do this publicly. I went to him in private the next day. I said, Pastor, I have an issue, because Mike, he's simple-minded, yes, but he's a good guy and he loves Jesus. And there's no reason that he can't be a member of our church. And the pastor, he said, well, if we're making a $1 million decision, do you want Mike to have a vote? I said, yes, sir. I said, because I know some things about Mike you don't know. He's very faithful in tithes and offerings. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't have made it to that level to have his name brought up in front of the deacons, because that's how it worked there. And I said, not only that, he's completely debt-free. He knows how to manage money. I have no problem with him casting a vote. Well, the pastor said, well, it's my choice. He's not going to be a member here. And I walked away. I said, I will never do that as a senior pastor. If I ever am a senior pastor, that will not be the case where I pastor. When people want to be a member of my church, they're just going to be a member of my church because they love Jesus and they love the church. Can I get an amen to somebody? And I'm telling you, everybody, we have to honor one another above ourselves. And we have to value each other, truly value each other. Number 3, I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus and I belong to others. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and watch this, we all belong to each other. So here's the thing, New Song, you belong to me. And here's the other side of it, and I belong to you. I belong to you. So if you need me and you say, Pastor, I just need you, oh, okay, I'm here for it. And if I can't be the one, because there's so many of us now, I got loads of people. I'll oftentimes say, listen, as much as I would today, I can't, because I already have people stacked up, but I have staff members, I have elders, I have council members, I have people that can meet with you this very day. I can meet, or I can meet with you tomorrow or the next day. I'm telling you, at some point, we got you covered. We're going to walk through life with you. Why is that, everybody? It's because I belong to you and you belong to me. We belong to one another. We're meant to help each other. Never mind, I'm not even going to go down that road. I was going to say something else. You say, why? Why do we belong to each other? We belong to each other because we belong to the Lord. And what's what it says here in Romans 14, 8? If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. That means, everybody, that we are used however the Lord wants us to be used. And how does the Lord want us to be used? He wants us to be used by serving and caring and loving one another. He says that in his word over and over and over again. So we belong to Jesus, therefore we belong to one another. So welcome to the family. That's why I always say every Sunday, like, hello, my family. I call you that. Why? Because it's true. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Number four, we show love and share our lives with those in need. And you're really good at doing this, New Song. So I won't focus on this a lot, but 1 Peter 4:8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Hebrews 13, 16, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. God is so pleased. It's an act of worship when you serve and love and care for someone else. If you live your life just only focused on you, I'm telling you, that does not please the Lord. But when you focus on loving and caring and serving others, God receives it as worship. He receives it as praise. Can I tell you, everybody, how? Because we all know the story of the Good Samaritan, that these other people passed by, they wouldn't help the person in need, but the Samaritan, the least of the people in that generation, he walked by, saw a person in need, and took care of that person. How can you, and the point is, we all need to be Good Samaritans. It's a Sunday school lesson that we teach our children. But how can you be a good Samaritan if you are not involved in the life of someone else? Let me say it this way. It's impossible. You cannot be a good Samaritan unless you learn to serve and care and provide for others in need. And we all love the story of the Good Samaritan. But sometimes you think, well, I know I should, but it's really inconvenient right now. Well, do you think it was convenient for the Good Samaritan? And, well, Pastor, it's going to cost me some money. Don't you know that it cost the Good Samaritan some money, literally, when he paid for somebody to help care for the one in need? You guys see what I'm saying? So we all want our children to be Good Samaritans in the world. Well, why don't we just lead the way and just do it ourselves? And you're excellent at that, by the way, New Song. And then the last thing, gatherings. We're created by God to keep us safe and to keep us strong. To keep us safe and to keep us strong. And I'm talking about large gatherings just like this one. They would go, the early church would go, and they would worship together in the temple. There would be big group gatherings, but there would also be small group gatherings. They would gather in homes and fellowship and encourage one another. This is what Jude verse 20 says. It says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves what? You'll keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Let me ask you a question. If you're not involved in the lives of others, how do you know if their faith is wavering? See, you're not meant to live in isolation. You're meant to live in community. You're meant to live involved in the lives of others. Everybody, you need to be a part of a gathering. You need to be a part of groups that where you sit face to face with one another. Can I tell you something, everybody? We become more like Jesus when we are in relationships that both engage and encourage each other. You'll be more like Jesus when you get involved in the lives of other people. And I don't know about you, but I want to reflect Jesus in the world. Therefore, I need to be involved. Well, Pastor, you just preached this. You just preached this so that I would join a small group. I'm not even trying to hide it. Like, let me say it this way. I'm preaching this so you'll join a small group. There, I said it. And by the way, that you'll make a commitment that every single Sunday morning, you're going to be in the house of the Lord, ready not only to be ministered to, but ready to minister to someone else. That you, it should be your prayer. I prayed on Sundays every day, Lord, I'm about to minister the gospel today. Help me, Father. Empower me and anoint me with the power of your Spirit. I prayed every Sunday morning, Lord, I need you today. But I not only need you in this moment, I need you in the one-on-one moments when people are in need and they say, Pastor, you know, rarely a Sunday goes by where somebody doesn't come up to me in tears and say, Pastor, could you pray for me? And I'll say, let's go right over here, right here, right now. I'll pray for you right here, right now. Because I know it's not just group ministry, it's one-on-one ministry. And I love it. I love what I get to do. Oh, by the way, it's stressful. It's tiring. If I told you what the average week held for, I don't, because I love what I do and I'm not a complainer. Because if I told you, you would think, well, he doesn't enjoy it. I love what I get to do. But I hope you know it's stressful. It's tiring. That's why every 2 or 3 months, I've decided I just got to take a week off every now and then to refresh. Well, Pastor, I'm just tired too. I hear what you're saying. I know I should be, but I'm just tired. You know, Jesus took some time to be by himself, to rest, and to pray, and there is nothing wrong with that. And I have to do that too. I have to get away at times and just exhale. And then God refreshes me, and I come back and I'm ready to go. So if you're tired, take a little break. But some people, they stay on break, and that's not the will of God. Everybody, you're not meant to live in isolation, but in community. And you're called to make a difference in the life of someone else. So get plugged in. Connect face to face. And if you say, well, Pastor, what if there's a weirdo in that group? Can I tell you? Could it be the call of God for you to minister to that weirdo? Could it be the call of God to bring some wisdom into the life of that person that you thought was a weirdo? And the more you got to know them, the more you understood that they have been wounded deeply, and it has affected how they live life. And God is teaching them not only how to live in wisdom and how to receive wisdom, but he's going to be teaching you about compassion. Let me tell you something. Most of the messed up people that I've ever met, they are messed up because they have a story. They have a past. They have hurts. And I come to find out they're not so weird after all. They're just wounded and they just need help. And what great joy to minister to them, to encourage them. Have you ever thought about this, that maybe that small group isn't about you? Maybe it's about who you're there for. Get involved and make a difference for the glory of his name. Heavenly Father, help us. to do what you've called us to do for the glory of your name, to be there for one another, to be in unity, not to be divisive, but to be in unity. Lord, we realize we're here to make a difference. We're here to proclaim grace. We're here to proclaim the gospel. We're here to encourage and build one another up in the faith. We're here to make a difference. Use us, I pray. And I pray that unending testimonies of healing and deliverance and freedom would occur in our church family as we gather together in your name. Lord, I pray that lives are changed. Not only the lives of others, but my life too. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and may you be glorified in all things at New Song Church, because you alone deserve it. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.